Hello, I'm Karen O'Connor, a consultant speech and language therapist, and this is the Karen O'Connor podcast, part of openingyourmind.com. Openingyourmind.com is my website where I share my extensive knowledge and unique pieces of the jigsaw approach so that your child can achieve their greatest potential over the shortest period of time. We blend up-to-the-minute speech and language therapy techniques with sensory integrative techniques, including sound therapy, which will be impacting on the neuroplasticity of the brain, so that your child can achieve their greatest potential quickly and easily. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach, as iTunes and other podcast apps start to recommend it to people like you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to talking to you.
Today, I'm here in Wicklow in Ireland, absolutely beautiful spot, and I'm here to meet an expert in the field of child development. She's a paediatric occupational therapist with over 20 years experience working with children with challenges and really helping them achieve their greatest potential. So I'm delighted to introduce you today to Pauline Mourne. It's lovely to be here with you today, Pauline. And as I said there, I mean, you have so much experience in the area of occupational therapy. You've worked with thousands upon thousands of children over the years and helped so many children achieve their potential. So it's funny, when families come to me and, you know, I might say to them, I really think your little one needs a little bit of occupational therapy or whatever. Parents often say, but what does an occupational therapist do? You know, so a lot of people haven't heard of occupational therapy. So can you tell us a little bit about what does a paediatric occupational therapist do?
So from when the child first gets up in the morning to when the child goes to bed at night, you look at their occupational performance. So you look to see, you know, how are they getting on with their behaviours, with their routines? You know, are parents finding that they're able to get them dressed in the morning? Mm-hmm. Some kids may have difficulty putting their socks on. They have difficulty with different clothes because they've got some tactile issues. And some parents just, they'll give them an instruction and they're not paying attention. So it's just all about understanding what's affecting the child's function during the day.
Okay. Sometimes
it can be at home, sometimes it can be at school, but usually the parents have realised there's something not quite right, and we need to help them with A, B or C.
Okay.
And so that's when they will come to me, because it's actually affecting their function.
Okay. And so Pauline, who do you see? Like who normally comes to you? You know, is it children with specific diagnoses? Is it children that don't have a diagnosis? Is it across the board? Who comes to you?
Well, I see a lot of different conditions, really. Some kids have got no diagnosis at all. So they may have some sensory issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the parents are just seeing that they're having an awful time getting them dressed in the morning. They're not responding to their name being called.
Okay.
There's certain, you know, they're having some auditory issues.
Yes.
There's a lot of tantrums at home.
Mm-hmm,
So I see kids that, some kids may have Down syndrome, so they do have specific conditions. I work with a lot of autistic children.
Yeah.
I work with some children with cerebral palsy because I'm also trained in Bobat trained.
Yes.
So I can work with tonal issues as well.
Fantastic.
And so basically I work with across the range, dyspraxic kids, kids with ADHD, children that some children have got a firm diagnosis, but some haven't got any diagnosis at all.
Okay.
I work from very young children, so from the age of one up to about 14. But I'm seeing some older kids now because I've got a bigger space to work from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So and great. I know you've moved into the most beautiful space. You've created the most beautiful clinic space. And, you know, it's interesting what you're saying there. You know, so you see children right across the board. Some children may have a diagnosis and that can be anything, any developmental issue at all, from autistic spectrum disorder, ADHD, dyspraxia, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, you name it, right across the board.
All the different syndromes.
Yes. And as you say, on the other hand, children, no more than with me, children come to you who don't have any diagnosis at all and will never have a diagnosis.
Well, the parents just may see that they're having great difficulties in handwriting.
Okay.
They're having great difficulty with attending at school. They're very, very anxious. They're having to be withdrawn from school because of their anxiety.
Okay.
So sometimes they might come to me because of that issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's it's really about information gathering to begin with.
Yes, but this is what I was going to say to you. So what are the red flags for parents? What that would indicate that they need to come to a paediatric occupational therapist? What are the signs that they'll see at home that mm-hmm. would suggest, oh crikey, we need to talk to an OT?
Well, sometimes the children may have siblings.
Okay.
So the parents have realised, well, their sibling has never done this before.
Okay.
It's so much more difficult to get them out in the morning. Mm-hmm. If it's really affecting their function mm-hmm. and it's affecting their self-esteem
mm-hmm.
and it's affecting the whole family,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
they need to bring them to a paediatric occupational therapist.
Okay.
So it's really, if it's affecting their
life. And their lives, as you say. Yeah. So it's everything from sensory processing difficulties to coordination difficulties, gross motor difficulties, fine motor difficulties, like writing, dressing, buttoning, all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Throwing, catching a ball, all of that kind of thing.
It could be speed in handwriting.
Yeah.
It could be accuracy in handwriting.
Yes.
It could be that they're having great difficulty with spelling. They're having great difficulty in sport.
Yes.
You know, it could be that they're not really able to catch a ball. They're not able. There could be certain, or even the parents are noticing that when they run, it's not quite the way they should be running.
Yes, yes.
They're tripping over a lot. They're sitting at the table and all of a sudden they're on the floor.
Okay.
It could be that they just realise there's something not quite right.
Yes, yes.
And they can't put their finger on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they feel that they need to get it explored and to figure out what they can do to help their child.
Brilliant. So as you say, Pauline, it can impact right across the board, can't it?
Absolutely.
Everything, all the skills that you've mentioned there. So they're the red flags that parents need to look out for. The other thing that parents often say to me is, what's the difference between an OT and a physiotherapist? So an occupational therapist and a physiotherapist. So what would you say?
Well, we do cross over a little bit.
Yes, yeah.
It's like we cross over, even, speech and language therapists, we cross over a little bit.
Yes,
But with occupational therapy, it's more holistic.
Yeah.
So it's to do with when the child gets up first in the morning mm-hmm. to when they go to bed at night.
Yes.
It's a very holistic approach.
Okay.
So it's looking at their behaviour throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's looking at their performance throughout the day.
Okay.
And to see what their strengths are, what mm-hmm. their weaknesses are,
mm-hmm.
To see, what are the parents concerned about?
Yeah.
Or if
yeah.
the child is old enough, what are they concerned
mm-hmm.
about?
Mm-hmm.
What would
mm-hmm.
they like to be better at?
Yes.
It's about really information gathering and finding out what is that child's strengths, what is that child's weaknesses, and what's their developmental performance at the moment?
Okay.
And how can we push them forward and help them to reach their potential in life?
Great.
So that's
great,
what we're looking
at. Really. Lovely, lovely. What would an initial meeting look like for a family? What's involved in the assessment process?
Well, usually it would start with a telephone conversation with the parents.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
sometimes the parents like to explain to me what, they're concerned about.
Yeah.
And why they would like me to assess the child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes the parents would have got information from their GP,
from
a speech and language therapist, from mm-hmm, a whoever mm-hmm. they've been working with.
Yes,
and it could be even a school. A
mm-hmm.
school may have said, we feel that something is going on with their child, and let's get them assessed by an occupational
mm-hmm,
therapist.
Mm-hmm.
They may feel that they're not doing so well in PE, or they're not able to hold the pencil properly. They're not able to keep up with their peers. They're not able to attend as long as other children.
Great.
They may be just getting up off the chair, speaking out in class and not able to follow the rules.
Okay.
So basically it's, first of all, a telephone conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the parents will send me by, scan and send me their old reports or some information about the child.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they come to me, it's all about information gathering. So I give them questionnaires
mm-hmm.
to fill out. So it'd be the sensory profile.
Lovely.
It'll be an occupational therapy referral.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the information about their past medical history.
Great.
Their personal information, what the child's behaviours are like during
mm-hmm.
the day,
mm-hmm.
what their concerns are and what they feel the child's strengths are. So I would go away and analyse that later on. I also give out a school questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
which goes through the sensory behavioural aspects of the child in school.
Okay.
So what the teachers feel that the child, where is the child at the
mm-hmm.
moment?
Mm-hmm.
And, going into the different sections, like, are they able to sit at the table?
Yeah.
How are they getting on with the other peers? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions and they will, you know, give responses to
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. Then I will do a standardized assessment with the child.
Okay.
Which can take 2 hours, but it can take up to 3 hours as well.
Okay.
But I would usually do an hour at a time.
Okay.
Because that's plenty for a child.
Yes. And it's obviously dependent on age as well, because not every child will be able to attend for 2 hours.
It depends on the child.
Yes.
And with a younger child, it's all about... you know, finding out where they're at developmentally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I use the Hawaiian, you know, developmental checklist for that.
Great.
And I'll use the Peabody.
Lovely.
And we'll get a real idea of where they're at.
Okay, okay.
And then I can give advice about how to move them forward.
Brilliant.
And with the older children, if it's an autistic child, some children cannot cope with standardized testing.
Yes, yeah.
So I will use play.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
will use, you know, my observations, my
yes.
clinical observations.
Yeah.
And my years of experience to help them to know where they're at,
yeah.
and to
yeah.
help give a home program and to help them to move forward
yes.
from there,
yes.
and to get the best. Oh, every child Brilliant. Has potential. Every child
mm-hmm.
can change.
Mm-hmm.
So we can
Brilliant.
Definitely move every child
yeah.
forward.
Great, great.
With the children that are more able-bodied,
yes.
then we will do like a standardized testing, like the movement ABC, to
mm-hmm.
look at their motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
We will do the visual motor integration test,
okay.
looking at their visual motor skills. The test of visual perceptual skills,
mm-hmm.
so that's looking at their non-motor visual skills.
Yes, yes.
And I look and analyse their handwriting skills,
Brilliant.
Their speed.
Yes.
And I also do the clinical obs, which is looking at their sensory piece.
Fantastic.
And I do a very holistic, it's
yes.
a very full assessment.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
then I go away and analyse everything,
mm-hmm.
put together a report,
mm-hmm.
put together a list of equipment that will be needed for home for the home program.
Okay.
And then I will give advice about what the parents need to do at home to help their children
okay.
reach their
okay.
potential.
Okay.
Which is all goal orientated.
Yes.
And which is all going to be, you know, I will be working with them, you know, one on one with treatment.
Yes.
And that will be, you know, also working on what the parents are working on at home.
Okay.
So it's very, I mean, it's very holistic.
Yes.
It's very detailed.
Yes.
There's lots of formalised assessment, but there's also, of course, as we say, the whole art of therapy.
Absolutely.
With years of experience and your clinical observations, it's that tied in with
Absolutely.
Formal assessment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of it. So Pauline, so that's what an initial assessment will
yes.
look like. Okay, so I think that's going to be, you know, fantastic for people to hear, to understand what goes on there. And so from there, obviously, you decide with the family what's required, whether input's required. What would, typically, how often would you see a child? Would you see them once a month, once a week, a couple of times a week?
Okay, so after the assessment, actually, after we finished the assessment, I would have the parents come in on their own. So I can give them feedback, give
Great.
Them the report. We can talk through what needs to happen next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I would have realised this child needs a certain amount of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So usually it's one-on-one,
okay.
once a week for a block of eight.
Okay.
And then sometimes the children need to keep going.
Okay.
They're not able, like especially if they're on the autistic spectrum.
Yes.
They may need to keep going, and if they're younger, because
mm-hmm.
we've just built a rapport and we're starting to get changes, so
mm-hmm.
we may need to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the kids, they can have a little break after 8 weeks, and
okay.
then they'll come back maybe after 2 or 3 weeks,
yes.
and we'll give them another block of eight.
Great,
usually
great.
They need more than one block of eight.
Okay.
Usually it would be nearly maybe a year. It just depends.
Yes,
it really
yes.
depends from child to child.
Yeah.
Some parents are travelling a long way.
I know.
So they're
I know.
Travelling all the way from Mayo, or they might be travelling from Galway.
Yeah,
they might
different be
travelling.
Parts of Ireland.
So different
yeah.
parts of Ireland. So then I will set up a home programme, and we may review the home programme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they may not be in a position to bring the child for treatment every week.
Okay. Okay.
But I would make sure that we're in communication by telephone,
yes,
by
yes.
email,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we will set them up with a good home program, and then we would review that home program.
Okay.
But
okay.
on the whole, majority of kids will come once a week
okay.
to me.
Okay.
And Pauline, you have such an amazing space here. I mean, even if we look behind, my God, between the climbing wall and the climbing frame and,
yes.
you know, just the whole lot of it. I mean, what child, you know, just wouldn't love, or adult
yes.
nearly wouldn't love to experience this?
Well,
so
yes.
what... I know you use a whole range, obviously, like any good therapist, you use an eclectic approach, you
yes.
use a combination of approaches,
yes.
whatever from your, based on your assessment, what you feel is going to work for this
yes.
child. So in a space like this, you know, I suppose what kind of activities do you do? What kind of approach? Could you tell us a little bit about the approaches that you use? That type of thing.
Sure. Well, I'm an advanced practitioner in sensory integration. And so I'm an advanced practitioner with the University of Ulster. Mm-hmm. So and I'm also SIPT certified.
Yes. Now, you're one of the only people, only therapists, only OTs that I've ever met who has been SIPT certified. Are you, you're one of
there's few in Ireland.
There's others in Ireland that are also SIPT certified and they're also advanced practitioners in sensory integration.
Great.
But there are others.
Yes.
There's a, you know, there would be a list of them.
Yeah.
From the Sensory Integration Network, UK and Ireland.
Brilliant. And if families were kind of in other parts, that's something I do, we'll put in the information box below, is, I suppose, information about, you know, where can families look online to get, you know, to get information about Occupational Therapy Association in terms of sensory integration practitioners, all of that kind of thing. So we'll certainly put all of that in the, you know, kind of showing in more information below. Oh,
the Irish Association of Occupational Therapists have a list of private occupational therapists and what their area of speciality is.
Yes. And I'm thinking, I suppose, of families all over the world, really. So because this is going to get to families and it could be anywhere, it could be in the States, could be, you know, the Ukraine, it could be anywhere. So so we'll put a list below, you know, of exactly where people can look to find somebody who's very experienced.
Sure.
And that's, as you say, that's one particular specialism is in the area of sensory integration. But you also use...
I'm also an advanced practitioner in therapeutic listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also...
sound therapy.
That's right, sound therapy. I'm also BOBAT trained, so I can work with children that have tone issues.
Yeah, so this is interesting now. Yeah.
So with low tone, or like, it's not just children with cerebral palsy.
No.
But it's also children that have got, you know, they're low toned.
Yeah.
Or
they've got tonal issues.
They might have core, you know, very poor core support, you know, issues.
Yes.
So I work with those type of children as
well. Great.
Really, with this space, it depends on the child.
Okay.
So with the sensory integration, there is a fidelity measure.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps us to know what we should be incorporating in our therapy sessions.
Okay. Okay.
Which should involve proprioception, so it's heavy work through the joints and muscles, some vestibular work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just swinging, but it can also involve the tactile piece, so some messy play. We do a lot of bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
I also I do some therapeutic listening throughout the therapy session as well. So I use quick shifts and I use different other modulated music to help throughout therapy, and we get some really magical difficult differences as well.
Wow.
So it's really nice. So
So
yeah, I use a real mix of treatment, like developmental treatment. And sometimes it's a matter of helping, the child has no idea how to play.
No, I know.
No idea how to interact with the space.
Yes.
So this space can be quite big for some little children, but we try and just, you know, keep it in one little area.
Exactly.
And I would set out little toys that would help them to get more interested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely to get the engagement, the eye contact, and it's you get some really, really lovely results.
Brilliant. And I'm sure parents are so thrilled because, you know, it's so lovely to see that response from a child, isn't it, who hasn't maybe been responding as much, or, and to see all the lovely changes that can happen. So, Pauline, from your point of view, what changes do you see? What are the results? What do you see?
Well, like, for example, like the first time I saw one little boy that's on the autistic spectrum, he's 3 years of age.
Okay.
He cried. He just couldn't stay for the whole session.
Okay.
One of the parents stayed and one left.
Okay.
But then this was in my old space.
Yes.
And then when he came into this space, lovely eye contact, a smile. He could see how colourful it was. And he was very, very happy to play with me, to engage with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been getting some lovely, lovely sessions with him.
Yeah.
So I'm getting eye contact.
Brilliant.
He's following instructions.
Yes.
He's actually interacting with me, playing with me.
Yes.
And it's really, because it really, sensory integration is very, it's all about play. Because that's the child's occupational performance.
Yes.
So it's all about the just right challenge.
Yes.
So you don't want the challenge to be so hard for the child that they have no hope of being able to achieve this at all.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be just right so that they feel a sense of, I did it.
Yeah, that sense of achievement.
It helps their esteem. And it's all about building a rapport with that child.
Yeah.
helping that child feel trust, mm-hmm. that he can trust you, mm-hmm. or she can trust you, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. they, you know, that you're rooting for them. You want to help them, and they know that.
Yes,
and they know that you want the best for them.
Yeah,
and they come running into the sessions.
Yes,
and I work with all kinds of different children, really.
Yeah,
and some of the children are much more able-bodied, and they might have a fear of heights.
Okay. Okay.
So just little by little, they'll start at the first level and jump in.
Yes.
And they're getting a nice proprioception.
Yeah.
The moving in the foam is a heavy work through their joints and muscles.
Brilliant.
I do a lot of activities with swings as well. So I have Lycra swing where they can, you know, they're getting a lot of proprioception. They're getting vestibular.
Great.
They're having to motor plan.
Yes.
They're working on their ideation and all of that as well. So it's...
So many things are shifting and changing. Yes. You know, it's funny because I remember when I saw an OT at work first and I started to get into the whole area of sensory integration. Mm-hmm. You know, from the outside looking in, it just looks like play.
Absolutely.
But in reality, you've got this plan in your head. You know exactly where you're trying to bring the child in terms of, well, depending on what you're working on, but in terms of sensory regulation, mm-hmm. helping them to be calmer, more focused, listening better, watching more, but also in terms of their coordination, mm-hmm. if that's an issue, or their handwriting, or their eating, or whatever it is. So you're covering so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, usually the first 45 minutes of my session would be working on the gross motor, or on the vestibular, the proprioception, the core piece, the postural piece,
Brilliant.
Depending on the child's goal.
Yes.
So
each
child will have some goals that are
their
set.
Their own set of goals.
A set of goals that I would be working on. Mm-hmm. The child may know the goals, but they may not know it. They may just feel that we're just playing.
Yes.
But the parents would know what we're working on. So I would have a set of goals that I'm working on. You need to be, it's very child led, some of the sessions. Mm-hmm. So some of the parents feel, well, you're just letting them do what they want to do.
Yes.
But it is, I am in charge.
Yes.
Like I am a couple of steps ahead of the child.
Yes.
But I am allowing them to choose because that's when you get some lovely changes as well because they're motivated.
Yeah. Exactly. And what I love about that, because that reminds me a lot of the floor time end of things. When you're really, you're waiting. Mm-hmm. But you're waiting, you know, what's that word? Expectantly.
Yes.
You know, you've set the whole thing up so that the child will start to initiate. Yes. They'll start to plan better. Yes. There, something is happening. As you say, it's that just right fit that something happens and you've got that lovely where something changes neurologically from a neuroplasticity point of view. Mm-hmm. You get that lovely change,
Absolutely.
You know, and that's phenomenal.
But that's the heart of sensory integration. It's all about neuroplasticity.
Yes.
It's all about the brain. It's about the processing level of the brain, which is the brain stem. So it's a bottom-up approach.
Yes.
So you're helping the child process.
Yeah. yeah.
And you're changing how they're processing certain things.
Yeah.
So they're less fearful. They're willing to try certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
see, like with the standardized testings, you get some lovely results.
Okay.
So you see changes through their, you know, they're at a different percentile than
great.
What they were when they first started.
Okay.
So their balance, their postural piece, their, you know, their hand-to-eye coordination,
Lovely.
Their ball skills may change.
Yes.
And, you know, with videos, it's nice because you can actually visually see the changes
great.
As well. So
great.
That's good.
And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, people may say, well, God, you know, are ball skills that important? And are, you know, is cycling that important or different gross motor skills? But it's all laying a foundation, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it's all, and I know it's not achievable for everybody, but it's all laying a foundation within the nervous system for the development of other skills, isn't it? So what's the long-term goal?
Well, I think really each child is so different and so specific.
Yeah.
Some children are sporty, but they want to be better at that ball skills.
Yeah.
And they're willing to put the work in to get better at those ball skills. Some kids have no interest. It's all about finding what is the sport for that child.
Yes.
Because it's very important the kids move.
No, I know.
That they're not sitting down all the time. Or, you know, it's important that they move. Like, is it swimming? Is it horse riding?
Yeah.
Is it archery? Is it, what is their, what is their sport?
Okay.
It may not be a sport. It may be something else. It may be, you know, it just, they need to be active.
Okay.
So it's finding what's important to them. So, and then it's about, you know, the parents, it may be that the parents are not very sporty and they don't really mind if the children aren't good at catching. They may not want to be in the GAA club.
The local sports club or whatever.
So, it really is about finding their
Yeah, their niche.
Their niche and what they like.
Yeah.
And then they will be willing to put the work in.
Great, great.
It's interesting what you say there. You know, I mean, in a lot of the videos that I've created for this YouTube channel, you know, I talk about the whole sensory end of things and how to look at the different senses. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much like you, an advanced practitioner in sensory integration as well. What, it's funny though, you know, over the years, I've heard different people say, oh, I don't think sensory integration works. And da, da, da. I mean, I know as a clinician with over 20 years experience, there's no doubt in my mind that sensory integration works. What's your thinking as an occupational therapist with advanced training in that area and many other areas?
Well, there is research out there and there is a fidelity measure to help people measure, you know, in regards to sensory integration and the effectiveness of sensory integration.
Great. Right.
There's also GAS goals that people can set that are going to help you to really, you know, have a level where have they improved.
Okay.
So it's so these there's definitely research out there to show the effectiveness. I know personally, I've had I've been working with children since 1996, and it's been an area that I absolutely love, and I've been working in for many, many years.
Yes.
And it's that orienting response, which is a response. A child comes in very distressed.
Yes.
And when you can get a child calm.
Yes.
At peace.
Yes.
And willing to engage with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a wow moment.
Yeah.
And often that will happen during treatment in sensory integration.
Yeah. And
you
not
really,
in another form,
it may not
another
get like I do use, as you were saying, lots of other approaches as well. So it's finding what's right for that little child.
It's all, it's like, you know, it's funny. This is the thing that's come up again and again in all the different experts that I've spoken to. It's really about looking at the pieces of the jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's never one piece that's the total answer. It's finding that really good, that right combination for that child that really helps them achieve their greatest potential.
Because some children have great difficulty in making sense of their senses and for function.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what sensory integration is all about.
Yes.
It's helping them to, you know, figuring out what sensory area they're having difficulty with. What areas do we need to really help them to excel in?
Yes,
and to be less fearful. Like some of them are petrified about certain sounds.
No, I know.
About trying different tastes.
Yes,
there's certain foods they will not touch.
Yeah. And the feel of certain types of clothing,
certain
clothing touch experiences.
Or even different lights. Like some children have got great difficulty in filtering.
Yeah.
So they
may
have visual filtering difficulties.
Yes.
So, for example, if they have a whiteboard at school.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information around it.
Yes.
They're looking at everything else before they look at the whiteboard.
Okay.
So it's important that teachers think, okay, we need to keep that space clear.
Yes.
And just have them looking at the whiteboard.
Okay.
Have the other information elsewhere in the class.
So it's not too distracting.
So it's not too because visual distraction happens all the time, auditory distraction. So some children might be just distracted by the other child turning his page.
No, I know.
They've got great difficulty in filtering, you know, what's important to be listening to, what's not. So filtering can be a major issue for some of our children.
Yes.
And it's very distressing for them and tiring for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it can affect their emotional piece. So they hold it together at school and then at home they might have explosions.
Yes.
And so the parents get this very upset little child coming home.
It's like, as you said, they've kind of held it all together all day, or they've tried their best to keep it together all day and keep on top of things. But then by the time they get home, then it's just, they just need to...
They're just in meltdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, so it's really to help. And then, because really what we're doing is helping the whole family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a happier child, you're going to have a happier family.
Yes.
And just even going out for meals, you know, to restaurants can be really difficult for some families.
Yeah.
Just the normal little routines can be a real chore.
Yeah, yeah.
Hair cutting, nail cutting, hair brushing, you know, just little sensory pieces that make a huge difference to
I
a child
know.
And to the parents.
That other people take for granted, that we take for granted in general.
Absolutely.
It's only when there's something, that the processing isn't happening quite right, as you say, if the filtering isn't quite right, or, you know, that there's something happening there that the child just isn't processing that information quite correctly.
Yes.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is fascinating. I love that area.
I know, I know. And Pauline, you've helped so many children over the years. I mean, you've helped so many children achieve their potential. You know, for parents listening now, are there tips that you could give parents? What would you say to parents if they're finding that their child, that they're worried that their child is having issues in any of the areas that you've spoken about?
Yes.
What would you recommend? And is there anything that they can start doing today at home?
Absolutely. Like really the proprioceptive piece, which is the heavy work yes. through joints and muscles.
Okay.
So say you've got a scale between 1 and 10.
Okay.
The child needs to be at number 5 so yes. that they can attend and focus.
Lovely.
And they can sit down and eat their meal.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, they can sit down and do the jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, listen at school.
To listen at school yeah. and all of yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. So if a child is sleepy, because mm-hmm. some children can, they can be very lethargic looking, yes. very tired,
yes.
you know, propping to support their head.
Yeah.
But and also they may within seconds be fidgety and up and yes. just want
so
to move.
A bit of a mix of both.
So
yeah.
they can swing very quickly, some children,
yes.
not all.
No.
But it's basically for those type of children, it's like even the children that are lethargic need heavy work as well. And that's going to bring them up to number 5. And it's not different exercises. It's
yeah.
like we're talking, it doesn't need to cost a lot of money.
No, I know.
It can be a whirly straw and, making a bubble mountain.
Yes.
So you've got like
so
a basin.
Blowing into it.
You've got a basin with
yes.
fairy liquid or bubble mix and
yes.
blowing.
Yes.
And get them to use their diaphragm
yes.
and a big blow. So heavy
yes.
work in their mouth, like heavy
Lovely.
Chewing. So like the apples, like
yes.
The carrots. Some of them won't touch carrots or
no,
any
know.
Heavy things. So so they can use chewy tubes,
yes.
like heavy, you know,
yes.
or blowing bubbles.
Yes, yes.
But you want it to be challenging.
Yeah.
Not too challenging,
yeah.
but
no,
so
just,
a bit
the
of
just right
the just right challenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you, like the traction, you know,
okay.
on the monkey bars, playgrounds
yes.
are excellent.
Okay, great.
Going up the incline of a slide.
Yes.
You're climbing up it and
yes.
then coming down.
Great.
The wall, you know, the climbing walls
lovely,
are excellent.
Lovely.
Again, obviously age dependent. Depends
of course,
on what,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
and people need to be responsible on that end
Absolutely,
of things of what's appropriate
yeah.
for the child's
Absolutely.
Age. But these are some lovely ideas. Right. So for in terms of the climbing wall, so that gives again that lovely heavy work.
It gives bilateral.
Yes,
so
great.
They're having to coordinate, you know, they're visually having to find the next piece and
lovely.
Then coordinate the right side of the body with the left
lovely.
Side of their body, the right foot with the left foot.
Yes.
So it's nice bilateral activity and it's
Brilliant.
Also giving them proprioception.
Great.
And it's, so it's working on the visual and the proprioceptive and the bilateral
mm-hmm,
piece.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the you know, with the monkey bars, even if they can just hold on, so they're getting
yeah.
traction. That's
yes.
quite nice.
Yeah.
The swings are nice, but if they can incorporate, like maybe even if they have a ball, a gym
yeah.
ball or whatever,
yes.
and kicking the ball so that they're not just getting swings, they're getting proprioception through
yes.
the legs as well.
Because the swinging is stimulating the vestibular, so
that's
quite
right.
stimulating. And but then, as you say, the kicking of the gym ball, again,
yes.
it depends on the age of the child,
yeah.
Is giving them that a little bit of heavy work.
Well, basically, slow rhythmical movements are
yeah.
calming.
Yes.
Fast movements like spinning
or stimulating,
fast movements, that's excitatory.
Yeah.
So depending on where the child is at, like if you've got a lethargic, tired child that you're trying to awaken their
yes.
systems, it's fine to do that.
Yeah.
But if you've got a very hyper excitable child, you want to calm them.
Yes.
So you want to be involving proprioception.
Yes, yes.
So heavy work.
Great.
So so traction would be great for them.
Lovely.
Slow rhythmical movements. So keep the swinging slow and rhythmical.
Yes, yes.
Music is excellent. Using
yeah.
your voice is excellent.
Yes.
The words that you speak over your children are very, very important. So don't speak negative words over
yes,
them. You know,
yeah,
encourage
yeah.
them.
Yes, lots of praise and encouragement.
If a child is up here, shouting,
yeah.
if you can come under with your voice.
Yeah, so you're regulating
yeah,
and using your voice.
Your voice as
you're
well.
You're helping them to calm.
That can be very,
yeah.
very, very important in a family.
Yeah, and of course it can work the other way too. So for
yes.
the child who's kind of very lethargic and maybe,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
that you're trying to stimulate to kind of wake
yes.
up.
You might need to put your voice up a little bit.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 So there's some lovely tips there, Pauline, for families to get going with even today. If families want to contact you, I mean, obviously, I know we're going to have information below and all that. You're based here in Wicklow, in Ireland.
I'm in Kilcool, County Wicklow, which
yes.
is I used to be based in Stepaside, so
yeah.
it's about 20 minutes away from where I used to be based.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
still seeing quite a lot of Dublin clients.
Yes.
They're coming down to me.
Yes.
It's really this space is even going to get better. Better
yeah
it's so it's already beautiful and
yeah.
So there's also going to be, you know, different colored lights that will be going up the walls and there's going to be different equipment coming in eventually
yeah. I know from meeting you at so many conferences over the years and courses in the States
in the UK
Scotland and all of that, and this is years ago, and I know you're still doing the same thing, your level of knowledge is phenomenal. And like what you're doing with the kids is just amazing. And I see that all the time, that the kids that we work with, that we share, or that I see you working with. So I couldn't recommend highly enough to families to come to you or somebody like you. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, from a parent's point of view now, you know, you've spoken about, you know, possible tips in terms of the Occupational Therapy Association. We're going to have information in the list below. Is there anything else that you feel that it's important to say to parents at this point? Or anything that you feel can be helpful for them, you know, to give them that bit of hope that, you know, their child can do well?
Well, really, sometimes it can be very, very overwhelming when they're first starting out.
Yeah.
So it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
So start with one therapist.
Yes.
And a therapist that is, you know, especially if the child has got sensory issues, you need an advanced practitioner in sensory integration so that they know how to implement.
Yeah. Someone experienced.
That's going to be able to, you know, help your child reach their potential.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the child is on the autistic spectrum, they will need somebody that's SI trained.
Yeah.
And that's really used to working with children with autism,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So also it's just a matter of, so once you do meet, you know, like once you start the therapy, then I would often give advice, you know, regarding the biomedical side of thing with Goodwin, McDonald, or I might. So I'll be giving advice to
in terms of
other professionals that I feel that the child might need to.
Yeah, that to get that right combination.
Absolutely,
as we say. Yeah.
Each child is so unique.
Yes.
So there may be another professional that needs to get involved.
Yes, who is another piece of the jigsaw.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
so that's very, very important, and it's important that as a professional that I would be able to relay that to the parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not to get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
To just take one step at a time.
Yeah.
And to, you know, that we can make changes.
Yes, and make big changes.
And big changes.
Yeah.
That's going to really help the child.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
thank you so much, Pauline. It's been great meeting you today and talking to you as always. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, Karen. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Karen O'Connor podcast. Please visit openingyourmind.com for more information on the work that I do. If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to subscribe to ensure that you don't miss out on future podcast episodes. And if you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. The more ratings and reviews we get, the more people this podcast will reach. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye for now.